All right, welcome back to another episode of Seeking Scale. Andy Baldacci, how's it going?
It's going well. Yeah, it's. I mean, I feel like I've had the last few weeks felt similar to me, where I feel a bit scattered. I feel like I'm not making much progress and losing a bit of focus. So I think there's some themes we can dig into this week. But ultimately, when I'm able to take a step back, I'm doing fine, doing well. But I just feel like I'm treading water a bit right now. But how are things going over in Castos land?
Yeah, similar, maybe for different reasons, or like the input is different that makes me feel the same way. Like I talked about last week, we're hiring a lot right now. We're going to bring on 4 people in the next 4 weeks. First one started Monday of this week. And so that's just a major disruption to my workflow and to kind of how I spend my days. I think looking at the other side of this will be great, you know, because it will let me get more focus back. But yeah, I mean, basically chalking up the next month to me being about half as productive as I would be normally, just because it's really worth the time. Like we've invested a lot in recruiting and hiring these people, and it's really worth my time to get them settled properly so that they can get up to speed and get as successful as they can be. So I think when we think about focus and productivity, it's funny because I think there's like this guilt complex that we all have because we hear, you know, whoever I kind of idolize in your mind, say like, this person is so focused on like their quote one thing, and they always are doing the most important thing and the only thing they can do in the company to like add value and stuff. And when we're not 100% doing that, I think we feel really guilty. And I don't think that's wrong. And I think that maybe that's what we'll talk about today, is like a little bit of this like daydreaming or whatever is okay. And like, I think we have to give ourselves that grace sometimes.
Yeah. For me, it's honestly part kind of similar to what you're doing, is where we have done some hires and we're doing in the middle of another hire right now. And a lot of it is me just not fully accepting the managerial stuff as work, because it is so, I'm used to being an individual contributor. I'm used to shipping things. And all this managerial stuff just feels like it's busy work, even though I intellectually know there's a ton of value there. And I'm the best person to be handling these and all that. It just is difficult when, as a marketer, there are all these other things that I know we need to do that I know are holding back the company. And so I'll just find myself with this laundry list of marketing projects to work on, and I'll try to focus on that, but then things will come up and I'll need to, whether it's coordinating on the redesign. A lot of what it is for us right now is that over the years, we've minimized the real seasonality of the business, and so that in between seasons, there might be some plateaus, but it's not the massive peaks and values that there was before. But it's still at the start of football, baseball, and basketball season. There will always be a spike. There will always be a lot more support coming in. There will be new customers and real growth. And we're always trying to optimize our product work and marketing around the start of a new season to really just capitalize on the boost in traffic that we know is going to be coming. And so baseball's starting up in a couple of weeks. That's also when Matt will be taking his leave. We're also hiring. And like, I just feel a lot of pressure to get all these projects out the door. But then a lot of them, like, I'm the point person on managing them. And then it's like, oh yeah, but we also need to do a live stream for the start of baseball season. We need to update our strategy, guys. Our documentation is wildly out of date. It's like all these things. And so I just find myself literally having a hard time focusing on what do I do next, but also going down all these paths of what do we want to do in 6 months from now. And so it's just like it's because those are almost the daydreaming, where it's an escape in a way, where I do think there is value there. And it's not this purely like entrepreneurial, just true daydreaming. It's like, no, like I think these are interesting paths that we really should pursue. But it's just much easier for me when I'm getting overwhelmed to just like step away from the computer, write, and really think through like what could be in the future, rather than
just sucking it up and grinding through the shit that needs to get done right now. And I just feel like I'm kind of in that spot right now where it's easy to just get pulled away by whatever's coming up in a reactive way and then just like not being able to focus and get the other things done.
How much of your time do you feel like you're spending on both like each of those buckets right now? And like, do you think that's appropriate?
I guess what buckets would you?
Like implementing shipping stuff, you know, marketing content, you know, working with folks on your team to actually kind of get stuff done. And then the other part of being like strategic, big thinking, like what's the company going to look like in 2 years kind of thing.
To me, the buckets would be like me actually shipping things. And that's 10 or 15%. And that's too low. It's probably 50% coordinating with other team members on what they're working on. And that's probably reasonable. Basically, I spend the time that's needed to move the project forward. And I feel like spending more time, I don't think adds value, just be micromanaging. Unless I don't want to like abdicate really high value things like a redesign or new features, that kind of thing. And then the rest is probably that bigger picture thinking plus like just a random admin shit that like ad hoc, whatever that comes up. And like, yeah, I think some of that strategic planning needs to come down so that I have more time for the individual contributor stuff. I think long-term, that's not where I need to be. But a lot of times what I feel like is that, it's funny that we're saying this on like a podcast talking about business, but like, I just think that at our stage in business, a lot of founders overcomplicate things and get way too deep in the weeds on strategy, on process, on all these other things that do matter. But like, if I'm being completely honest, for us to double, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. And sure, if we don't have great process in place for communication and all of that, that's not necessarily sustainable, but like we'd survive. We would be okay. And it might be a little hectic, but like we can do it. And so, yeah, the long-term goal of a CEO is to spend a significant amount of your time on those high-value strategy things. But if there's low-hanging fruit in front of you and no one's picking it, like you got to fucking pick the fruit yourself. And I just feel like that's the thing where it's like, it's easy to get caught up when you're on Twitter and listening to a ton of podcasts and doing all this of like, of just the strategic thinking. But if it doesn't add value today, when there are things that could add value, like that's where I think it can be a trap.
I think the other thing is that like we have a perception of like on our work lives, you know, and kind of how we're spending this time, and you're, you know, kind of 10, 50, you know, whatever, 20, 30% on the other side. And then we hear podcast episodes or we see someone on Twitter, we read a blog post and they are saying they're kind of projecting this and not putting those numbers on it. And so we read this or we see this or hear it and say like, oh, they're spending 80% of their time on like strategic stuff and hiring and those kind of, you know, quote CEO kind of things. But the reality is I'm sure very, very, very few people do that, right? Like everybody still is shipping something. And I think that, yeah, I think that like we play weird mental games with ourselves to say like, oh, we hear this thing and then we put ourselves in like the guilty mode because we think we're not doing as good a job at kind of prioritizing our time like this. So, yeah.
I feel like I just think it's a mistake. I think on, and this is partially why I feel guilty, is it's not that I think I should be spending more time on strategies. I really think I should be spending significantly less. And I think that's a spot where at our scale, I think it's easier to fall into that trap of what the model CEO should be doing. And it's one thing when you do have a team in place and you're never going to have full capacity to handle all of the projects you want to work on. And that's fine. But like, if you're making progress in all of the areas in general, if marketing's firing on all cylinders, if product, everything else is moving well, then yes, like you do want to work on more and more of your time on strategy, on culture, hiring, recruiting, all of that. But like, if I'm being honest right now, that is not the highest value use of my time because I already have done a lot of the strategy work and it's not like an ongoing need. It's figure out where we need to go in the next 6 months and then get there. And then along the way, like, yeah, stop and think about things, but it's not like I shouldn't be setting aside time each week to do this. A lot of it's probably burnout where it's like, these are the enjoyable things for me to be like brainstorm on and think about. Whereas like the individual contributor stuff isn't, but it's got to get done. And so I think there's a balance of that where it's, we need to make more hires so that I am not a bottleneck on moving these projects forward. But in the meantime, it's just like, I got to suck it up and just get these things done.
I think that the other part of this is that, and this is me, is that the bigger picture thinking stuff, and I do it kind of all the time, off and on, affects the things that I see as low-hanging fruit now and kind of how I tackle them. Or the strategy we take in kind of the short term is affected by what I think is going to happen in, say, 2 to 5 years. So like even, you know, you say like our path to doubling is pretty clear. I think it's only because you've done that longer term thinking, you know, and that longer term thinking is affected and is being affected by like what you're doing right now in a positive way, I think. So I don't think it's, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's wrong because I think that like, yeah, it's like, you know, what I say is like being dumb and just working is really healthy, you know, like just go smash the rocks. But like you have to know like past 6 months, like what the goal is to set good rocks, good quarterly goals or monthly goals or whatever now, you know?
Oh, for sure. And I think that's what I need to do a better job of getting towards where it's a cadence. And sure, if you do feel an inspiration to start going down some path and really thinking about the future more, like take that, but like don't look for those things when your next 6 months are already pretty clearly planned out. I just need to kind of stop tinkering with that and stop worrying about that for now when like you said, like I've done the work ahead of time and can just kind of leave it as is.
How do you take like new inputs, like shiny object is the term, right? Like new opportunities that come up. So like you've decided on like what the future is going to look like, and this is the path we're going to take for the next 12 months. And then something happens to where you're like, ooh, but this could be really interesting. Why don't we do this? Why don't we try this strategy? Why don't we enter in this partnership? Right? Because that stuff all just happens without us choosing to do it sometimes, or, you know, comes up without, you know, us initiating it sometimes. Like how do you balance those things with the real short-term things, like the things you have to do, you know, now, and then like what you think the medium term, like the 1 year plan is?
Yeah, I don't have a real answer for this. And it's something that, yeah, I struggle with, because on one level, yeah, I do think it would be, depends on what you're trying to build. Like if you're trying to build a company that does a few million a year, you should probably ignore all those things and figure out your 6 month plan, execute like hell against that. As you get closer to the end of it, reevaluate, figure out the next 6 months and just do that. And like, don't let things interfere because it just doesn't need to be that complicated. If you're trying to build something bigger, then yeah, you have to kind of be shifting a bit more frequently. And yeah, I'm sort of stuck in a spot where I'm not entirely sure what the goal is. There's different components of the business that could be, like if we just serve the daily fantasy sports market, there's definitely a cap on what that is. And it could be a very good business, but it's not like a venture scale business. If we pivot, there's a lot more opportunities there. And so I think it's just, you got to figure out what you're really trying to do and then understand what the opportunities are and how big of a diversion they are. Because where I'm at right now is we are exploring other opportunities for scaling, and we're trying to do that in a way that gives us optionality without slowing us down too much now, really, even. And even if we don't take that other option, we're still in a better spot. And that's kind of playing it sort of safe, where I'm not ready to commit to either direction. But at some point, like I'll have to say, okay, like we're going this way or we're going that way.
Yeah.
And for now, though, I think we have the ability to walk down both paths at least. That probably didn't make any sense, but
no. And I know that. I mean, like, I think one of the hard things about doing a podcast like this is we want to share what's going on in our world, you know, and we want to share like the things we're going through and the takeaway lessons, right? Without kind of spilling the beans. And especially, you know, if our competitors listen to this, like, you know, telling all of our secrets and our strategy that won't unfold for the next 2 years, because then it's really easy to copy. But yeah, I mean, I think that I would imagine in your mind, something that's happening that like the rest of us non-gamblers are not doing is like you weigh like not just the possible outcomes, but like the probability of those outcomes happening, you know? when you're thinking about like what kind of business you want to build. So like just as an example, you could build a $2 million a year, you know, self-service, low touch kind of prosumer business. And I think in that respect, you and I have like similar businesses that we're running right now. And I think we're all both kind of looking at like, okay, so that's, you know, $2 million a year business maybe in another year or so. And that's great. So like, if you would decide to sell, then that's, you know, it's like $10 to $15 million. Like, right. That's one thing. And then the other one is like, ooh, if we, you know, kind of pivoted or transitioned or broadened our focus or whatever kind of euphemism you want to say, we're not just going to serve this one audience, but we're going to serve like a bigger one that has more money, is willing to spend more, you know, higher ARPU, bigger deals. It would be a higher touch kind of model. It would be a very different business than we have now. Then what is the probability of success and what does that success look like there? So like, you know, the chances of you getting to a $2 million business as you are now, pretty good. If you pivoted to doing something different, or if we pivoted to doing something different, what would be the outcome and how likely is that? And I think that's the math you have to do if you're looking at that. It's like, not just, you know, is it a $10 million or a $30 million business, but how likely is each of those things kind of happening?
That's directionally the way I think. I think there is some important nuance though with it. And I won't go into like this super mathy explanation, but if people are interested, Google the Kelly criterion. It's basically a way, it's like a formula that's used a lot in trading now, but it's primarily geared towards sports betting. And it's a way to size bets based on minimizing risk of ruin while maximizing bankroll growth based on the payouts of the bets and the probability of getting there. There are a lot of bets that you can find edge on that are long shots. And if they pay off great, but you can't bet a significant portion of your bankroll on them because you're going to lose 95% of the time. But if you find a small edge on something that you're going to win 95% of the time, you can bet a huge percent of your bankroll because that percentage of losing is just so low that it doesn't happen that often. And so you want to think about, like you're saying, what is the likelihood of this working? If it does work, what does that mean for the expected outcome of the business? But I think where it's different than traditional betting, in betting, these are all independent decisions. Like I place, outside of like bankroll concerns, like how much money I have available to bet, I place a bet on this and it has no bearing on the other bets that I'm placing, other than like I have a little bit less money to place on these other ones. In a business, it's very different because the bets have much more significant costs. And so I think you also have to really consider how much does this distract us from what we're doing now? If this doesn't work, how does it change our current, like, what does that outcome look like? Is the company a failure now? Like, did we bet everything on this and we can't go back? Did it just slow us down a couple months? What does that mean? And so that's the component that I think matters a lot. And it's like when we were talking before about some of the possible paths in podcasting, you'd mentioned like ad networks and all this and that, like that would be a massive change to your business. It's basically starting a new business. And with limited resources, you would have to put everyone pretty much on that and just let the current business go on autopilot and stagnate a bit. It's like that has very high switching costs. Like you can't really go back as easily. So the risk is pretty big. If it's like dipping your toe in something that's, there's a Venn diagram of this new thing and it overlaps pretty heavily with what you're doing now, that's a lot less risky. That's the way I think about it on a deeper level. I mean, what we're looking at doing, and I don't think it's anyone would get a major competitive advantage on us for knowing this. It's like, we have invested a ton in just building out our own data capabilities by pulling in data from dozens and dozens of sources, normalizing it, using that to feed into our models, giving better information to our customers and all of that. That has a ton of value on its own. And you really can't get that easily or at almost any price from like other players. There's major players that sell data similar to what we have for thousands of dollars a month. And we subscribe to them and they're good at some things, bad at others. But like we're trying to do that better in-house. And if we can do that better in-house, that's a potential business opportunity. but I'm comfortable investing in this because even if we don't pursue that as a business, it will make our core business stronger. And it's something that I think will build a deeper moat for anyone who's trying to start a competitor to us or even the current competitors. Like, the amount of money we'll have to invest to get this where we want to be will serve as a massive moat and be a competitive advantage, even if we never choose to do anything with it ourselves. And so that's why I'm comfortable exploring that path. But if we do try to like pursue that as a new business line, that's a much, much bigger risk. And I don't think we're ready to even really think about that. And so those are the things where it's like, I do a lot of the upfront strategy thinking, but I just day to day have to stop like thinking about like, oh, like, well, what if we do this? What if we do that? It's like, nah, like we're not there yet. Just kind of keep my head down for a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know
if
those rambles added anything, but.
No, for sure. And I think that's healthy. And I think that like the good thing about the situation you're in is this kind of focus for now is really consistent with like the main business, you know, and like this decision you might have in the future to diverge from that is going to be like a really big one. Cause it is like a breaking change to your focus, to kind of the business itself and the people that you serve and stuff like that. So I think, you know, you're fortunate that right now your investments that you're making in the business and the product and things are kind of supportive of what you're doing already. I think we're similar, that like we're serving the same audience in the same way. Things that we're developing can add value to them. So that's really cool. And that's why it's less of a big decision. If we decided to, you know, change totally to serve a different type of customer or a different audience, it would be a really big deal. And I think there is then the chance that like that doesn't work and the business goes to zero, which is like, another thing to consider is like, how breaking is this, right? Is like, if this doesn't work out, can we unroll this and go back to what we're doing? Then like, it's less of a big decision. If it's really like unilateral and breaking and you can't go back, then, you know, you have to consider that a lot more.
Yeah. And it also makes the fundraising discussion, I think it makes it easier to wrap your head around it, because say we never chose to pursue a different business line, I would be very comfortable taking on like a pretty significant amount of debt to grow our business, because I do feel like, okay, if we're saying blinders are on, this is what we're executing on, like I have a pretty clear idea of what we need to do to get there a bit faster, more reliably, all of that. If we're trying something new, then the idea of debt is a bit scarier. It's also probably harder just to get in general, because it's riskier. And that's where I think like equity can make more sense, because you're saying, hey, this has a high expected outcome, but there's a lot of variance along the way. And the distribution of those outcomes is not like a pretty bell curve. And so if you want the risk, there's plenty of upside, but like the downside of the investors is they can go to zero. And it's just, I think it's important to not force two different business models to go down the same path. Like, you don't want to be dragging along your steady growing business with this hyper growth thing. And it just, so that's where it can get tricky. But yeah, I think at some point for both of us, we're now able to find ways to explore growth opportunities kind of bite by bite. But there's going to be a spot where we have to potentially just like make a choice of these paths are getting too far apart. Like, which one are we going to go down? How are we going to do that? And I think, yeah, for us, a lot of it's just being, let's make sure that the work we're doing now is beneficial, regardless of what path we ultimately go on, whether it's building out the team, building better infrastructure, all those things. Like, we have to do that. Once we have those things in place, then it's a bit of a different discussion.
I have a friend that's doing this right now. He was in a, you know, stable but definitely growing business, saw an opportunity in the same industry and largely to the same customers to do something pretty radical, and is taking that opportunity in like a lot of different ways, you know, different company, different team, different funding source, different go-to-market strategy. And I think that the way that like I know Rob thinks about all these things is like, they're just tools, right? You know, funding is a tool to achieve the outcome you want that is appropriate for this business and the opportunity, you know, is how like, I think he would tell me to think about it. You know, it's like, Taking debt in a growing, consistent business is the right tool to get you from a million to 2 million. But to taking $2 million of real, like, proper angel money, or venture money, I should say, that where they expect an A round in 18 months or whatever it is now, is not right for a business that's, quote, only growing 100% a year. So that's how I think about it. And I think that's kind of the result of, like, we explored the angel route quite a bit. And I think we're in some ways, like, too far along for that to be really the right move. But also, like, my goals of the business are not to 10x the business, you know? Like, I think this business in its current state, we want to 2 or 3 times it over the next couple of years, and I'll be very happy, you know, like, when that time comes. And if I was in another situation where I saw this opportunity to have 100 times kind of opportunity, then I would want different kind of resources beyond the business, and, like, my mental approach to it would be different. But I think that's the other thing, is, like, the stress of taking proper venture money would be really different than where we are now. And I don't know that I'll, today, I'm certainly not ready for that. I don't know that I'll be ready for that ever, just because it means, you know, long hours. And the goal is very different than what my goal is now. So.
Yeah. And I think for me, a lot of it is the goal is murky right now. It's, in those earlier days, it was like, all right, if we can get to X number, we'll be great. And when we first took over SaberSim, we're not even sure of how big the market was. Honestly, still not sure, but it's a lot bigger than I thought it was originally. So, like, it was like, okay, here's what I think we can do with it. Let's get there. Great. And 2 years in, we're not at the number I want to be at ultimately, but, like, we're on the path to be there. Like, we will get there. And now it's kind of thinking, oh, what about what's after that? Like, is that all we want to do? And yeah, that's kind of, I think, what I need to wrap my head around, is just, what am I ultimately optimizing for? And it also gets more difficult when you have more partners involved, which, unfortunately, is everyone's very supportive, and no one has, like, a strong opinion on one way or the other. I think we'll all need to figure out as a team, what are we trying to build? Because those are decisions we'll have to make when we have to kind of choose which path to go down. For now, we're able to just kind of keep executing, and I need to get my head down a little bit more to keep pushing the ball forward there. But yeah, I think that's where we're at.
Yeah. I think the other thing that's not to be overlooked with this is, like, you mentioned the word burnout. I think that there is a lot of cognitive load that's almost, like, subconscious right now with COVID and family and all this junk that, like, just makes the normal day-to-day stuff harder, you know. And maybe I'm projecting, because, you know, we're kind of, you know, in the shit right now. But I think that, like, 6 months from now, the world should look a little better, and that some of the things that we're struggling with should be easier to handle, because the rest of our lives are hopefully better too. I keep telling myself that that this thing is not just at the beginning, and this will be over soon. So
it's hard for me to figure out the impact that this all has had on me, because on some levels, on most levels, we're in a much better position now than we were, just on a personal level, where it's like, my wife and I were living far away from all of our friends and family. We're now back home. She's got a job she really enjoys. Things are going well at my company. I already was working from home, so I kind of am used to that, like, isolation a bit. We don't have kids, so we don't have to deal with all that in the remote learning and all of those things. So, like, this hasn't been objectively nearly as hard for us as it has been for most people almost. But I know there's still something there that, like, it's hard for me to just, like, wrap my head around. And I think, yeah, there's just a lot of distresses, a lot of just things just piling up. And honestly, for me, outside of COVID, it's just like, I'm now, like, doing best, like, stay off of Twitter, because, like, I don't know if it's just, like, the people I follow or what it is, but, like, there is plenty of negativity on Twitter, but, like, I don't get a lot of that in my, do they even call it timeline or whatever, feed? But it's just, like, it seems just like everyone's getting rich and, like, doing dumb shit really quickly. And it just makes me, like, be like, what the fuck? Like, well, this is so hard. Like, why didn't I just invest all my money in Top Shot or all these other like ridiculous things, or like, yeah, it's just like, I think that FOMO, a bit of that is just like, when that's just like all I'm inundated with like the stock market, just everything else. It's like, just seems so much easier. I know it's not like, as a gambler, I know that is a horrible like fallacy to go down, but it's just like been a horrible negative influence on me to just like constantly be inundated with those like overnight success stories that are probably going to end in like overnight failures as well. But it just makes it hard to just like plod along on this like path when it's not going as quick as you wanted normally. And then you see all this other craziness happening all around you.
Mm-hmm. I think that, I don't do Twitter hardly at all. I do Twitter to share podcast episodes that I'm on, and that's about it. But I don't participate there because, I mean, yeah, it has a enormous negative kind of mental drain on me. I'm really affected by seeing the good and the bad, you know, people saying, oh, we're killing it and we just raised $100 million or whatever. And, or, you know, whatever, my revenue tripled this year and I took home $1 million. Like, all that just kills me, you know, like I can't do that. And it makes that like heads down executing on what I know in my mind is the most important thing. It makes that so much easier to just say, I don't even want to know, you know, like I don't even want to know to a pretty fair extent, like what our competitors are talking about, because I know pretty surely what we need to do. We have people on our team that are on social media all the time, and I don't know how they do it. Like their skin is thicker than mine, because I can't do that and all the stuff that I have to do as CEO. So
yeah,
I don't feel terrible about it.
No, I think that's a good way to cap off a lot of this, where it's that it's not just trusting your own instincts or things like that. You do have to put in the work up front on strategy. You do want to always be learning, but at a certain point, you do have to put up the blinders to just pure distractions, to envy, to whatever else may be coming up, but also just like extra information that's not adding value, that's not giving you entertainment or anything else. Like, you just can't let all these dopamine hits like constantly just like pull at you. And yeah, and so that's what I'll be working on, and hopefully the next few weeks as we get into the baseball season, I'll have been able to grind it out a bit more, get us where we need to be to hit our goals. But I'm feeling optimistic. Sometimes it's good just to kind of get these things out. So hopefully to listeners, there's some value in there as well, or at least you could just commiserate with me.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be. Hopefully it was helpful.
No, it was a good chat. I think we kind of talked through a lot of those things that I think a lot of folks that listen can relate to. So yeah, hopefully it was helpful for everyone.
Yeah. And if anyone has any suggestions on ways to, I'm not looking for like productivity hacks, because I think we're not beyond that, but I think I'm not looking for like quick fixes or things like that. I'm really just trying to find ways of working on the right things. And if anyone has any suggestions of ways to keep yourself grounded, whatever it may be, please don't hesitate to reach out. Twitter is probably not the best place, but you can always email me at andy@baldacci.org, and always happy to hear anything. We also have email address for the podcast, which Craig will have to remind me of.
podcast@seekingscale.com, and that goes to both of us. So, yep.
Perfect. Yeah. But again, it was great catching up, Craig. And everyone, thanks for listening.
Yep. Cheers.